Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another lights on listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning, Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, brain masseur. Get ready for your brain massage.
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
The candidates are still adjusting, posturing, trying to prepare to get ready to commence to start. You know what I mean? Now that Huntsman is in the race, Rodney is going to have some serious competition for Mormon money. How about a Romney-Huntsman ticket, huh? Or a Huntsman-Romney ticket? What do you say? I know you have heard about the polls that show any Republican wins against Obama. He has, mercifully, dropped below 50% in his overall approval rating and sinking, it seems, almost daily. The libs are frantic to get the GOP to choose a liberal in order to cut their losses. Oh, boy. The MSM are lukewarmly supportive of Romney, but downright hot for Huntsman. Yeah, remember I told you that the MSM would attempt to choose the GOP candidate for us, as they have done in the past. And they're beginning to see that Obama really could lose, and they want to mitigate their losses by anointing the most liberal GOP candidate they can. Now, right now is a critical opportunity for conservatives. But will the GOP put forward their best conservative candidate? Not if the aristos have their way. Not if the blue blood snobs in the clubhouse have their way. Do you realize what is at stake in this election? I mean, America really is at stake here. And you know what? This one is going to make or break the GOP, I think. I hope you get that. I'm telling you, if the GOP put forward another McCain-type candidate, and actually what we're seeing develop is even worse, if the GOP ignores the groundswell of conservatives demanding a move to the right, well, they're going to split the party. It's so close already to splitting in two. The GOP Reagan conservatives are poised to break away from the GOP and form a third party. They're not going to go to the independents. That's basically liberal. They're not going to go for the Libertarian Party. They just won't stomach the idea of moral irrelevance. You know, watching their candidate smile like a moron and practically giggle about receiving the support of some whorehouse dame. It's just not going to cut it with traditional family values voters. Sorry, that's wiener stuff. No thanks. No, the Tea Party crowd will have no place to go but to form another party based on conservative principles. Do you not see that the GOP party bosses have not only forsaken conservatives on social issues, you know, such as abortion, homosexuality, I would say even control of our borders and immigration. They're also compromising conservative fiscal policy. I mean, they favor bailouts. They favor a revised form of Obamacare. Come on. They're moving forward on raising the debt limit, only under the restraint of Tea Party candidates. You know, and just going on and on and on with an ever-increasing debt load upon our future generations. I'm talking about the aristocratic Republican snobs, okay? The differences between the two parties at that level are disappearing. Now, hear me on this one, my friends. If the GOP does not put forward a truly conservative candidate in this election cycle, I believe the party's going to split. The Tea Party faction is going to walk. Recent polling shows that neither Romney nor Huntsman have the support of grassroots GOP voters. Hey, 60% of likely GOP primary voters who self-identify as independent support Christie. 59% support Texas Governor Perry. Even the moderates back Christie 58% to 28%. And as would be expected, conservatives back the New Jersey governor, Chris Christie, 65% to 17%. Romney and Huntsman both do very well among liberals. They're the liberals' candidate. That's who they are. Look, what is very revealing is that even among the liberals, guess what? Romney gets 38%, but Christie pulls 22%. Now, Perry does not do as well as Christie among moderates and liberals. Moderates prefer Romney over Perry, 46-37%. Liberals prefer Romney over Perry, 58-3%. Good night. But conservatives like Perry, 62-16%. Now, what surprises many is the fact that Christie does well against Romney in the 18-29-year-old demographic. Christie beats Romney among all income levels. Hello? Now, I've said what we need is not Obama-lite Romney or Obama-like Huntsman. Yes, I'm playing for a double entendre on the word like. Think about it. We need the anti-Obama, the antithesis of Obama, and Christie provides that. I'm reading here. Let's see. Quote, Republican voters may be looking for something fresh, uncompromising, an alternative governing model, the un-Obama, end quote. That's what I've been saying. Huntsman, especially, and Romney's instincts are similar, by the way. Well, these guys, they'll try to garner the favor of the MSM, a la McCain. They will be influenced by their critics and will allow the liberally inclined MSM to shape their candidacy. And that makes them vulnerable to lose. Even now, with Obama losing to any Republican, we could still lose this if you put a McCain type up there. They're already attempting to get control of the tone of the debate. I mean, the liberals. They want the GOP candidate to not go directly at Obama, but to demur to him, constantly affirming his goodness, his good intentions, you know, and posture themselves as merely opposing his policies, but we really like Obama. And by the way, that plays right into their hands. All Obama has to do is watch the polls and then shift his rhetoric sails to the winds. He'll adjust his teleprompter to sound a little more conservative when he needs to, and then a little more liberal when he needs to, and he'll navigate as he did before, back and forth like a sailboat crossing a channel, carefully positioning his sails to the direction of the winds. Look, when you're dealing with a man who is such an outrageous liar that even those in his own party admit he is a liar, there's no other way to deal with him than to take him on straight ahead on the question of his character and suitability and even his eligibility. Obviously, you are going to press him on issues like his position on Israel, you know, and whether drilling for oil would be a better idea than depleting our national emergency reserve when the only emergency he's trying to serve with that is his reelection. Hey? You have heard, I hope, that he is now pressuring Israel to give up their land or else. Yeah, hey, liberal Jew, you need to be sure to vote for Obama now, you know, because one of those conservatives, especially that type, you know, that self-identify as evangelical Christians, you know, the ones who have doggedly supported Israel through thick and thin, you can't trust one of those now, can you? You stiff-necked hypocrites, when are you going to wake up? Anyway, back to my point here. If you go out of your way to constantly affirm Obama as a sincere patriot, which he is not, a lover of America and of American values, which he is not, a supporter of freedom and liberty as our founders understood those terms, which he is most certainly not, if you buy the lie that in order to debate Obama you must lead with all sorts of nice things to say about him, call him a patriot, call him sincere, call him brilliant, call him kind, call him a gentleman, when in fact none of these things are true about that man, and even if they were true, if you buy into that lie, you're being tricked into becoming an advertisement for his reelection. Wake up. You're being set up. Every time Obama's opponents say some stupid nonsense like this to make themselves look good, they only achieve making themselves look like sycophants to Obama and his clan. You look little, like a brown-nosing panty waist. And you'll only serve to divert attention away from what makes him vulnerable to defeat. Now, don't forget, all you'll do is frame the debate in such a way that then he'll have the liberty to simply defeat you by making your accusations against his policies irrelevant, by shifting and shape-shifting his policies through clever rhetoric to make you sound like we're just wrong about him. His policies are more easily manipulated. They are more malleable than his character and his actual performance record as commander-in-chief. Don't buy into the lie. All right, let's wrap up the first segment. I heard a fellow debating a Mormon on Hannity's show the other day. It is interesting how the religion thing keeps coming up. Each time Mitt Romney, and now Huntsman, another Mormon, each time one of these gets into the race, the question becomes, will evangelicals accept a Mormon as president? And hey, you know, why do many Catholics and Mormon politicians support abortion? The reason will stun you when we get back from our break, and I'll go into that. Finally, as we approach the 4th of July weekend, what is really going on with this Pledge of Allegiance in our country? For example, did NBC really just accidentally choose the words "under God" to edit from the pledge on a feature they broadcast last week? Oh, and guess who else is disqualified from eligibility to be president on the ground of birth cert issues? And will it explain Beck's reluctance to embrace the birther conspiracy? Since he is a friend of John Huntsman, or at least senior. Anyway, folks, you hang on. I'll be right back. Every summer, the Lighthouse Baptist Church hosts a summer camp for children called Roots of Liberty Summer Camp. This year, it runs from June 27 through July 1st from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Monday through Friday here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria, California. Only 3.5 miles west from the Bedarabia exit off the 101 freeway. We inaugurated this last year, and it was a great success. 5 dramatizations are presented, one each day, with actors in full costume helping the children see and hear from our founders and others whose ideas formed the roots of our liberties. It is an outstanding presentation. You and your children will learn so much about our founding. Well, you'll be talking about it to your family and friends for weeks, even months to come. While adults and teens are certainly welcome and will learn a lot if you will come, the program is aimed particularly at ages 1st through 6th grades. Call the church to enroll your children or your grandchildren right away. Parents are welcome to sit in and participate in all the sessions. Transportation is available upon request, and it's an experience you won't forget. Call 347-9887. That's 347-9887 to enroll your children. Or go to our website, and at the bottom of the middle section, you'll see a link that will take you to a page that will explain how to enroll online. Of course, if you call our toll-free message hotline and leave your name and phone number and say you want more information about Roots of Liberty, or just say Roots of Liberty, we'll get back to you as soon as possible. That number is 1-888-770-8000, 1-888-770-8000, or call the church at 347-9887.
Warning: The Brain Massage Show stimulates genuine thought. Persons unaccustomed to this experience are often overwhelmed. Stay tuned. Your brain is about to be massaged.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Brain Masseur, and Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter here, lighting the lamps in the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is on the march, an enemy that would steal from us our liberties. I love Hannity. He is truly a great American. I heard a fellow debating a Mormon on his show the other day. I guess he was Catholic. He seems to think evangelicals will refuse to vote for a Mormon. Well, no doubt this will be a problem for some. It is interesting, isn't it, how this religion thing comes up every time Mitt Romney shows up on a ballot. And now Huntsman, another Mormon, gets into the race, and the question becomes, will evangelicals accept a Mormon president? The fact that the Mormon religion was founded by a guy who claims Jesus personally told him that all the other denominations were wrong and that all of their, quote, clergy, end quote, was in service to Satan himself, and that it was his job, that is Joseph Smith's job, to restore the true religion, well, that's beside the point. I mean, the fact that this Mormon on Hannity justified the Mormons' historical practice of polygamy by saying, you know, well, Abraham and David had multiple wives, certainly betrays gross ignorance of the Bible. For, in fact, Abraham did not have multiple wives. He's probably referring to that Hagar thing, and that was clearly contrary to God's will. It was made clear that it was contrary to God's will. Abraham never married her. And the scheme, which was concocted by Sarah, by the way, resulted in all sorts of problems. Problems, my friends, that are troubling us today. As Ishmael came from Hagar and from Ishmael, the Arab nations. And as the Jews came from Isaac. And so brother hates brother even today. As for David, while it would seem that God tolerated his having multiple wives, God never condoned it. And it is arguable that situation developed out of a failed marriage with Saul's daughter. And by the way, it also created all kinds of problems for David and his heirs. Besides all that, Jesus, the greater than David and the greater than Abraham, made it clear that in the beginning it was not so. God brought Adam one wife, not 70. And the New Testament standard has always been the husband of one wife. Oh yeah, but that is in the Bible. You say, well, that was a qualification for the bishop in 1 Timothy chapter 3, or the ruler of the church. Uh-huh, because it was the example he was to set for all in the church. You know, like it also says he's not to be a brawler, he's not to be covetous and so on, huh? But even if you limit it in that inappropriate way, That tells us Joseph Smith and Brigham Young and all the rest for a long time there were acting in clear contradiction to the New Testament instruction for those who would lead the church, husband of one wife. But this crazy Mormon says part of restoring the true church includes restoring polygamy? Yeah, and besides all that, there is this minor fact that the Mormons describe the Creator as having once been created himself by his God, as a man, by the way, and who subsequently sinned and was redeemed and finally ascended to the status of deity over this world. Which is, of course, not the God of the Bible, but a God fabricated in the imagination of Joseph Smith. Just thought you'd be interested in the truth. Is that okay? Can we just tell the truth about what these people teach and what they believe? Joseph Smith, he's the guy who got that whole thing started in their religion, you know. And this was later encapsulated into the quaint Mormon saying that as man is, God once was, and as God is, man may one day be. So in spite of all this, I don't think the majority of evangelicals will refuse to vote for either Romney or Huntsman simply because of their religious persuasion or their heritage. You know what I do find interesting, however? It is interesting how many Mormon politicians, and by the way, how many Catholic politicians there are who are pro-choice, who support abortion. Both the Mormon Church and the Catholic Church have made public commitments to pro-life. And yet, neither church will discipline any in their ranks who support abortion. Why is this? The answer to that question is going to surprise you. The Catholic Church will forbid you to partake in the Mass for any number of offenses against the doctrines of the Church. But they're especially sensitive to the doctrine of the infallibility and authority of the Pope. Historically, that one will get you barred from the Mass more quickly than just about anything else. During one period, it could cost your head or have you burned at the stake. And listen to how strongly the Mormons rebuke, say, gambling. A quote, the Church opposes gambling in any form. Members are also urged to oppose legislation and government sponsorship of any form of gambling, end quote. It's interesting. But when it comes to abortion, they get soft-headed. Most Mormons would probably assume that their church is pro-life. But the fact is, the LDS Church officially accepts abortion in a publication called the Church Handbook of Instructions, which was approved by the Mormon Church in 1998. The Mormon leadership instructs the members that pregnancy resulting from rape or incest may be aborted with the church's blessing, so long as they get church counsel and pray first. Yeah, interesting. Another loophole in the abortion policy of the LDS is if, quote, a competent physician says the life or health of the mother is in serious jeopardy, or a competent physician says that the fetus has severe defects that will not allow the baby to survive beyond birth, end quote. The Mormon Church is neutral when it comes to organized efforts to influence legislation on the matter of abortion. Did you know that? Quote, the church, same publication, quote, the church has not favored or opposed legislative proposals or public demonstrations concerning abortion, end quote. Now that's odd, since as we just read earlier, members are urged to openly oppose legislation and government sponsorship of gambling. So what, gambling's a greater offense than abortion? Why would the Mormon leadership be ambivalent on the matter of abortion, but not on something like gambling? You see, in this handbook I referenced earlier, it explains it. Quote, it is a fact that a child has life before birth. However, there is no direct revelation on when the spirit enters the body, end quote. This is the church's position since 1998. Now, before that, they sang a little different tune. They called abortion, all abortion, the murder of an unborn child, a grievous sin, a damnable practice. In 1985, Kimball, who was at that time the prophet of the LDS churches, said, quote, we have repeatedly affirmed the position of the church in unalterably opposing all abortions, end quote. But now they say, except in cases of rape or incest. I guess it wasn't so unalterable after all. Now, I know I have Mormon listeners and Catholic listeners, and I love you all. I appreciate my listeners. And what my listeners appreciate most about me is that they know I'm not going to blow any smoke in their face or play any games about what I believe. It's all about the truth for me. And you listen, the ring of truth is in it. The Catholics have a similar problem, by the way. Openly, that is publicly, the Catholic hierarchy has affirmed, loud and clear, a strong pro-life stance, except when it comes to their favorite sons in the government. Favorites like Kennedy, who was pro-choice, Pelosi, Boxer, Feinstein, who are now pro-choice, and many, many others. Have you noticed how many Catholic politicians are pro-choice who support abortion? I heard one of these politicians explain that the reason they believe being Catholic was consistent with being pro-choice is because doctrinally the church has not made a clear statement as to when the soul is infused into the body of the baby that is generated in the womb. Oh, yeah. Interesting. It comes from their catechism, where it explains the Immaculate Conception of Mary. And yes, by the way, the doctrine called the Immaculate Conception is not a doctrine about Jesus, it's about Mary. In their explanation of how it is possible that Mary could have been conceived in the usual way, not virgin born, in other words, and yet nevertheless be without sin at birth, they argue that conception precedes the infusion of the soul. They like to blow some Latin in your face when attempting to bamboozle you. That's my opinion about it. And so they say, conceptio seminis carnis, in coit. And it means conception by semen generates the body incomplete or unfinished. And at some point after the event, the rational soul is created and then infused into the body. They state, quote, the person is truly conceived when the soul is created and infused into the body, end quote. That's right out of their catechism. So both the Mormons and the Catholics provide just enough wiggle room in their teaching to allow some doubt when it comes to when does a baby become a person. But why did Baptist Herman Cain refuse to sign the pro-life pledge? Well, he explained it this way, quote, I support right-to-life issues unequivocally, and I adamantly support the first three aspects of the Susan B. Anthony pledge involving appointing pro-life judges, choosing pro-life cabinet members, and ending taxpayer-funded abortions. However, the fourth requirement demands that I advance the Pain-Capable Unborn Protection Act. As president, I would sign it, but Congress must advance the legislation, end quote. Well, okay. This is the first opportunity I've had to examine Herman Cain as a thinker, a politician, and a statesman. And frankly, I'm disappointed here. First, I'd like to say that I have no doubt about his personal convictions regarding abortion. However, second, Cain, this is bovine scat. The pledge said nothing about advancing the legislation through Congress. I mean, the assumption would not be that you were being asked to violate separation of powers. Come on. Obviously, you were being asked if you would support it, do what you could to encourage it, and move it along. Give me a break. I'm afraid you might have been looking too closely at Romney's back and taking a cue from him. I hope not. Now, how about the NBC blunder editing out the words under God for the pledge? Talk about pledges. In their opening feature for the U.S. Open, NBC presented a montage of various patriotic scenes interspersed into the beautiful and heartwarming video of a group of children reciting the Pledge of Allegiance. However, two words were cut out from the recitation of the pledge, and those words were, under God. But actually, they cut out three words. Did you notice that? They also left out the next word, indivisible, and they went straight to with liberty and justice for all. NBC has apologized. They said they didn't do it to offend anyone, and they are sorry. So, let's see. Of course, those words did not accidentally fall out of the video clip of the children reciting the pledge. And I think we may assume the children did recite the pledge correctly. We must therefore conclude someone at NBC cut them out. If you watched the video, as I have, you noticed that the children recited a piece of the pledge and then they faded to other scenes that illustrated what they had just said, and then back to the kids, then off to some nice scenes illustrating the next phrase or clause. And my guess is, when they came to Under God, they didn't know what to do. I mean, do they show people going to church? Well, which church? Do they show a Bible? Which Bible? Do they show people praying? Using a prayer rug or facing Mecca or counting beads or lighting candles, right? Or kneeling at some mourner's bitch in a congregational church. What do we do? Even if they simply showed aerial views of church steeples dotting the landscape, which might have been appropriate, they might have gotten some negative reaction from atheists or some Christians who believe such steeples are pagan. It is possible when they finished the piece, they discovered they needed to cut off some time and quickly decided the section that would be most expendable would be under God, indivisible. Or maybe some antichrist at NBC, some child of disobedience, came under the influence of the spirit of that prince of the power of the air, and with animosity against God, decided to cut him out. Not once, but twice, by the way. Yeah, the same spirit that overtakes Obama occasionally. You've seen it. Perhaps he doesn't plan, when he sets out to leave out the word creator when he cites the Declaration of Independence. Maybe it's his instinct. But how could anyone be so insensitive and out of touch with what is going on in our nation today to let this get by unnoticed? Not once, but two times, huh? I mean, for how long has Michael Newdow been on his campaign, his high horse, to get rid of the words "under God" from the pledge and expunge "in God we trust" from our coin? Well, only 2 years ago, the usually liberal San Francisco Ninth Circuit Court ruled against Newdow's charge that the references to God and the pledge in our national motto were unconstitutional. Three times in 1 month, President-elect Obama left out the word "creator" when citing the Declaration of Independence. On April 12, 2011, Senate Majority Leader Reid omitted the words "under God" from the pledge when he recited it on the floor of the Senate. Did you hear me? Yeah, quote, "After telling the audience present how he is moved to hear the Pledge of Allegiance when it marks the beginning of a new legislative day in the United States Senate," end quote. Right after that, he quotes it and leaves out the words "under God." I guess he's been in the Senate how many years? Since 1986, isn't it? Isn't that when he first got in? What is that, 25 or more years? How many times has he heard or participated in the recitation of the pledge? Hundreds of times? We might assume some sinister spirit is behind the removal of the words "under God," but then you have to ask, well, why did they cut off the word "indivisible"? Well, yeah, it's just like God to slip his hand into these sorts of things from time to time. Think about it. Because it is certainly true that when we delete "under God," we're going to lose "indivisible." And you lose "under God" and "indivisible," it won't be long before you'll lose liberty and justice for all. Okay, I'm looking at my time here. I'm not going to get to some of the things I wanted to address today. My dear friends, my son Zachary is home from Germany on army leave to spend some time with friends and family before he's deployed to Afghanistan. I'm going to take the time off to spend as much time with him as we can, so I'll be presenting an encore of One Nation Under God next week for July 4th weekend. It's a favorite and, interestingly, very appropriate, not only for this time of year, but also as a follow-up to the show and with what's going on right now. Surely you have noticed the growing Antichrist spirit in America. Obama declared, remember, America is no longer a Christian nation, admitting that it was, but is no longer. And he also said America was among the largest Muslim nations. I'll put that one together. As I conclude the show today, please think about where you are in this battle for the soul of America. Which side are you pulling for? I have lit the lamps in the church belfry arch, and now you let me know if you see the lights are on. You call and you say, "Lights on," if you agree with what I've been saying, and we'll ride like Revere and spread the warning loud and clear. Means you agree with what I'm saying, and you see the lights are on. But if you don't agree with me, then you say "lights off," and you can hang up. And that means you reject what I'm saying and disagree strongly with me. So what will it be today, lights on or lights off? Here's the number to call, 1-888-770-8000. 1-888-770-8000. That's 1-888-770-8000. And leave a message on our listener response hotline. It's a free call to anyone within the continental United States from outside the country, or for those who prefer it, you can email me by going to our website, clicking on the Contact Us button. Use thebrainmassageshow.com. That's thebrainmassageshow.com. And if you're in a hurry, you can call me, 1-888-770-8000, say "lights on" or "lights off," and then hang up. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church. Every summer, the Lighthouse Baptist Church hosts a summer camp for children called Roots of Liberty Summer Camp. This year, it runs from June 27 through July 1st from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Monday through Friday here at Lighthouse Baptist Church, 1310 West Bedarabia Road, Santa Maria, California. 5 dramatizations are presented, one each day, with actors in full costume helping the children see and hear from our founders and others whose ideas formed the roots of our liberties. Call the church to enroll your children or your grandchildren right away. Parents are welcome to sit in and participate in all the sessions. Transportation is available upon request, and it's an experience you won't forget. Call 347-9887. That's 347-9887.
For a complete brain massage experience, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com.